kick it off with this question from Jane. So, a continuous glucose monitor question from last week, kind of a follow-up. If I stay home and eat, we eat balanced, I can stay fairly steady. And Jane's problem, just for those of you who haven't watched the series, she actually has a low blood sugar problem, not a high. So she's dipping really low even during the day. But can still go low, like in the 80s after 3 hours. And just to give all of you some context who are not familiar with blood sugar levels, average for fasting overnight blood sugar levels are about 85. So 85 plus or minus, we all ride a little bit higher, a little bit lower, but that's a pretty good healthy average for first thing in the morning. Generally, all of us are going to rise after that fact. We rarely dip below it unless we go up and bonk. So blood sugar going like this, something is up in terms of our monitoring it and being able to stabilize it. So can you suggest, is the question, car-friendly food for the days that I'm out and about? Tried graham crackers with which brought me back up. However, CGM numbers seem to bounce up and down quite a bit for the rest of the day. Tried nuts, dried fruit, same result. We talked about lipase to help digest fats because Jane suspected she wasn't digesting fat. So that was not an off-the-wall recommendation, but that's the digestive enzyme that is specific to breaking down fats. Do you have a brand? So I don't have a specific brand, but if you are wanting to isolate to that, that's where I don't. If you want a digestive enzyme that includes all of them, yes. So hang on one second. So the one I use and swear by is Masszymes. So if you're interested, for any of you, there's 15% off right now at my link, which is buy optimizers, buy and then optimizers. So it's kind of like bio optimizers. It's not, there's not two O's. So buy optimizers is the easiest way to say it. Buyoptimizers.com/flipping50. And that automatically will get you 15% off. You'll see it on the page, flipping 50. It's the number. That is our brand name, not the URL of our website. But that's the one I use, and it has all of them. So the three that we are most familiar with are protease for breaking down protein, amylase for breaking down carbs, and then lipase breaks down fat. So you're going to get all of them here. Four times the protease, which is for those of you struggling to break down protein, you're eating more protein, you're causing more bloat or experiencing that, we're probably not breaking it down. So I would bring it back down for a bit, introduce some protein, digestive enzymes and/or betaine HCL, and then start to turn it up again because you're probably not absorbing it if you're not breaking it down. So just a heads up on that. But if you just want to test and isolate, is that fat breakdown my problem? I would suggest for you, Jane, this might not be the answer. You might want to go and get a lipase. Go and find specifically a lipase only so that you can look at, is that the challenge? Is that the problem? Because your blood sugar really is going really low, and we, want to avoid that. So eating graham crackers would be like something I would say, don't do that ever for someone because it's actually going to spike your blood sugar. So in a way, you're almost doing something that I would recommend for somebody who was in emergency in a very low and had, hypoglycemia. And so, if that's where you are, I mean, I would suggest if you have not had a really good discussion with your doctor, that you look at that and look at what else might be going on in your blood work. Is there anything that's giving you clues about what else could be happening here? And that would be a worthwhile discussion. So, any suggestions for how I can test CGM for exercise? So far, I've not seen much change. I've done a stronger class, two yoga and one mobility and balance class. So when you say you haven't seen much change, if you haven't seen much change in your blood sugar, I mean, when you're working out, plus or minus, you still have tested it, right? So that would be a test, is just where were you before workouts? How were you after workouts? And you can say immediately, even during, then immediately after, and a couple of hours after. And that still is testing it, right? You may not have seen it go up and down, but that's not a test if you're trying to get a specific reaction. So I might not quite be following you there, but realize that if you're conducting it for the effect of getting the data, whatever data you get, you have to trust that was the result. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. If it doesn't drop you low and you want to look for that dropping you really low, it could happen during. If you've had the wrong thing to eat prior, it will spike blood sugar. And then during that workout, you will potentially drop really low. And you want to look for it an hour after, 2 hours after, or 3 hours after. So blood sugar can be impacted after a meal or food eating event, if you will, for hours after. And you won't always see the immediate reaction. So you've got to look at 1, 2, and 3 hours after and see how you're doing there. And if it is consistently dropping low, you know, for you, I would center your day around small meals and snacks, and look for, you know, that to be a much more ideal way to eat. And I would also wonder if this is temporary. Is this something that just snuck up on you, or is it something that's always been true for you? And Colleen offered, have you tried just eating protein like a hard-boiled egg? And protein will have a very little impact. So if your blood sugar is dropping low, the protein is not going to have a great deal of impact right away. So if you need to pick it up, you do need something that has that high. But what we want to know is if we can develop a pattern, and we know the pattern, and you're following the pattern of what happens. So we start cutting it off at the pass. So if you know your blood sugar will drop at 2 p.m., if you didn't have a good lunch, then we would want to make sure we're going to have a snack by 1. We're going to make sure maybe that boiled egg, if you agree with eggs and your body handles both the yolk and the whites, and you've got to have tested that. So that might be an option. Other things that people will have before, say, exercise that works well for some people, but we cannot say it works for everybody. You've got to test it for yourself, would be, say, an apple and nut butter. Now you're getting a little bit of carbohydrate that is going to elevate blood sugar. The fat is going to dampen it a little bit and stay with you a little bit longer. So the fat is not going to have a huge impact on your blood sugar level, but it may actually help stabilize them while the apple is going to pull you back up if you need it. So testing things like that that are combined, that carbohydrate that you're getting from that graham cracker will bring you up, but it's going to also bounce you back down, most likely, unless you were headed right into a meal after that. So you want to think about what's the longevity of this that I'm putting in? Do I need it anyway? Because I'm really low and I'm not functioning very well. I don't feel very well. Those are all factors. So there are those emergency things that you've got to have. And then there are those, how do I start reading my pattern so that I'm ahead of myself and I'm not allowing that to happen because I'm realizing I need to eat more frequently throughout the day. And you're potentially the anomaly. Anybody here who's like that? You might need to do more smaller meals more frequently to stabilize blood sugar. Anybody who has an adrenal issue or real chronic fatigue, often we will recommend that. If you're just crashing, it's really hard for you to eat enough at any one meal, or maybe you don't even have an appetite. You get nauseous even if you think about eating too early in the morning. Those are signs that you might benefit because you have a lower tolerance for taking in food, and Your blood sugar needs to be stabilized by having those smaller meals and snacks. And ultimately, that for you would be better. So I think lots of things that you want to still answer. Is this true for you? And has it been true for you for a very long time? Have you ever had this discussion with your physician about is it tied to anything else or any other medication that you might be having? Those might be worthwhile situations as well. So, still start going low at 2.5 to 3 hours. So that would be my suggestion. I would, look at, eating every 3 hours potentially and looking at what am I having at this meal? Am I having something with protein and fiber? Because those will help stabilize blood sugar. Having something with fat in it will stabilize blood sugar, won't elevate it if you need it. And you do need some carbohydrate, but you'd still always want to have that last. So it's stable and you're choosing resistant starches, low positive ones like beans and legumes and sweet potatoes. And you're doing that constantly throughout the day. And again, that's not going to give you a big spike in blood sugar because it's got protein in it. So you want to keep that. This is my norm. So you're staying stable. Those won't give you a boost if you're low because they're going to be slower release, time release capsule kinds of distributions. Jane said, I like the apple, nut butter, or other ideas for when I'm running errands on hot days that will be okay to leave in the car. I'm gonna have to think on that. So I'm gonna tap into all the other brain power here. Anybody else got any ideas similar to apple and nut butter? And I would get used to, bodybuilders, people who are serious about their health do this all the time, but carry a little cooler with you. They come in, little bags and sachets that are no bigger than a purse, and you put a little ice thing in it from your freezer, and you can carry nut butter and an apple with you in a hot car, and it works. And people who, want to control what they're eating will often do things like that. So you could, if you tolerate cheese, also do cheese. I'm going to be the last person to recommend that, given, dairy can be a food sensitivity for a lot of people, so that can cause other issues. But, cheese is along that same lines of cheese and a pear, something similar. And somebody just added a comment. I'm going to jump down here and look at it. Not related to food. Okay. All right. But if you've come up with an idea, anybody, feel free to add it to the chat for Jane. We'll all brainstorm on that. And anybody who's struggled with low blood sugar levels, let me know and or let us know and see what you've done and see if it's helpful. Shanna says, wondering about farmer's carry. It keeps popping up all over my social media feed. Is it something you think is worth adding to a routine? Yes. So if you were using, you're going to start here in the app for the membership previously, it's, a carry is a big part of your strength and overall functional power. So we actually assess, can you carry 75% of your body weight? And that's probably for, say, a 50-year-old carrying it for a minute. Would be great. The older you get, you don't have to necessarily carry it for that long, or you could carry less. But yes, it's, a great functional activity. And I would put it in there right along with a workout. So if I'm going to do them, I will often do them between sets. So I might be doing something like a chest press or doing, maybe doing legs, and then between I'll walk in between for a little rest. But I never stand around. I never scroll. I'm always either putting in a balance exercise, challenging my stability, doing neuromuscular coordination, or something like a farmer's carry is a great, just a betweener is a great little thing to add. So work your way up slowly. But that is one of the tests in the scorecard. So looking at your functional ability to do that. Yeah, absolutely. So great. And you can do it. We've sometimes thrown it into a workout, doing it on one side versus the other. That's called a suitcase. And I love that as a core exercise. So you have it on one side, the other side is naked, and your core has to struggle to maintain that balance because otherwise it would be sagging on one side. So that's also a great way to do it. You're not testing the same function of strength overall, but you are definitely challenging your neuromuscular system, learning to right yourself. And it's very lifelike in that, we carry a big bag of groceries or packages in one arm, and then we have this gesture arm opening the doors and doing the other things. So I like both a farmer's carry. That means something in both hands, or the suitcase carry just in one. Absolutely. Colleen says, is it okay to do some light work with when I do not have the energy for a full, stronger workout on a scheduled day? All I can do on some weeks, I miss one workout due to low energy, and then other weeks I can do both, no problem. Is it okay to do something light in between workouts just to keep using the muscles? Yeah, and great things to do would be, ironically, just before I jumped on, I did a 15-minute lower body workout. I had the best of intentions today, and just like anybody, life got in the way. So didn't make it to do that full workout this morning. Didn't make it early afternoon when I felt it was still good, had a little window. Something filled that window. And then I was like, okay, I have 20 minutes. And sometimes having a start and a stop and the pressure, because there's no way I won't do it after 6 p.m. It's just not going to happen, number one. And number two, I think it's more disruptive than helpful for sleep. I might go into yoga, but at this point, even that I wouldn't do because I try to eat before we jump on, just to have more hours between dinner and bedtime. But I too lose track. But deciding, all right, I don't have time for a full workout. I'm going to target a muscle group. And I'm going to target the most important ones. So I did, just a very short set of lower body focused on squats and some lunges and targeting glutes and quads, hamstrings. So that, okay, I got the stimulus. Now that means I still need now 48 hours of recovery. I can't go do the lower body workout tomorrow because I'd be, not recovering from, even though it was light, I reached muscle fatigue. So when you say light workout, if you're reaching muscular fatigue, then it counts as a workout. If it's not, it just might be fatiguing you. If you're doing it to stabilize blood sugar, then you can do just about anything. And if you're not reaching muscle fatigue, then it's not something you have to recover from. But you just want to be careful that, yeah, movement is always better than no movement. If you were doing something like yoga, and even a 10-minute sun salutations only, like A, B, and C, for 10 minutes is great use of, almost every muscle in your body. Wake up call for, you're stepping back. So you get into a lunge position without actually being testing the muscles in a lunge. But those things, or going through, warrior one, two, and three, or doing some balance poses, you're still using your neuromuscular system, but not truly to muscle fatigue. So those are great things to do as well. In between, you're stimulating the muscles, you're getting a different kind of workout and not trying to do a strength training workout. So just want to think about, what's my purpose today and how does that fit in with what I will do? But absolutely, movement in general of some kind is going to be more beneficial than no movement. Jane says, CGM follow-up from last week. Hold on. I'm scrolling up and scrolling down. So hold on. Everything is appearing in all places. Farmer's carry, I got. Okay. Lightweights, we've got. CGM, I have answered. And Diane says, question, I read that protein with fruit will interfere with digestion of the fruit. And you're going to hear all kinds of things, I'm sure. I saw protein first in your recent email, and I agree that protein before carbs helps. My question is about fruit. So It's not necessarily going to, this is kind of part of the theory of, mixing your food or combining your food. And if you have carbs with fat, that's not good. You can have protein and carbs, and you can have protein and fat, say the school. Okay. That's not, if we look back in history, do you think that, those scavengers and cavemen all ate like that? And somehow we've all evolved and we are here. So I don't know that that's necessarily true. I do think you should test for yourself and see. But having the, apple and nut butter, test it and wear a CGM and see how that feels for you. See how you digest it. For a lot of people, that is an ideal pre-exercise snack. The little bit of fat, we're not eating a lot of fat. It's a smear of nut butter on those slices. It's not a clump of nut butter. And you have to distinguish that too. Is going to slow down the more rapid spike that might happen from the fruit. But is that going to interfere with digestion? Probably not. So, but again, the bottom line is you testing it. What happens when you eat it? Are you feeling worse, feeling better? Are you feeling gassy, bloaty? Have any issues with digestion or elimination? That's really the best feedback that any one of us can get about anything. And so I'll leave you with that. You have to draw your own conclusions about some of that. So protein, yes, if you're sitting down to a meal. So when I say the apple and the nut butter, talking specifically to Jane, who's having a low blood sugar problem, and or talking to somebody who is using it as a snack before a workout. So you're going to increase your blood sugar a little bit so that you can use that sugar as fuel to start the workout. And you're going to little bit of protein in that as well. So Diane, let me know if I did not answer that question adequately enough for you. Let me know about that. Linda says, if I'm cleared to start back with my strength training at my 8-week appointment mid-May, would you suggest starting with either stronger 3 or 4? I would definitely say 3 before 4 because 3 is much more predictable. You're doing between 15 and 20 reps for workouts. With 4, we're getting you a lot more aggressive, a lot faster. Week 1 and week 4. So week 1 is your probably 15 to 20 reps more endurance based, but weeks 2 and 3 are a little bit more aggressive than that. And I would not start that way. So I would start with either doing stronger 3 or even stronger 10, which has the total body now, if you wanted to do it, is based on the beginner, which is higher rep range of. There's 15, 12 repetitions at least, but that would be another option too. So let me know what your thoughts are on that. Jane said, I'm in week 11 of Stronger 4. Would Stronger 10 be a good next choice? I'm good with longer workouts. So I really like Stronger 10. I think it's a lot of options for a lot of people. And you could go into it, Jane, with a look at knowing what I just said for Linda. Is that I based the filming of the workout on the beginner because then we're all inclusive. You could choose, I want a lower rep range. So I'm not going to choose based on, say, 15 or 12 reps. I'm going to choose on fewer as if I were doing the moderate. And that might mean you don't do all the reps with me. The last few, you let me keep going and finish, and you put it down and safely prepare for the next exercise. So you could use that whether you were beginner or coming back after an absence or more intermediate and or consistently lifting for a long time and you want to go heavier. And then you would just have a more of a waiting game. But often I find if I'm working really heavy, you got to take a little more care with the shoulders as you put it back down and do it carefully. So you want and welcome that time in between. But yes, I would think that would be a great one. Jenny said, I just started Stronger 2 on the app and noticed it's very different from the other 12-week programs. It is. Not sure how I work my way through it. Yes, you could abandon ship. So know that it's very easy to do. And I will just say, as a parent, you're not supposed to have favorites. I can do that because I only had one at home at a time. But you're also not supposed to not have favorites, right? Or the evil child. But of any that we will redo, number two is slated to be redone and it won't be the same. So it is very different. It is based on science of cellulite support, if you will. So what's been proven and is a very time consuming, if you choose to follow it for the cellulite program and the science, there's five parts to it. So you do a warm up focused on the body part, either upper or lower, that you've got to choose because we don't have the time to focus on a warm up for the upper, then the lower, and do the foam rolling for the upper and the lower, and do the total body for the upper focus and the lower body focus. It's just a lot. It's already longer than because it's got the five parts to it. So here's what I would tell you, and what I would say is, I believe that, I mean, the science is there. There's enough validity to the science to say, okay, we know this works. However, I think if you focus very well on gaining strength, follow through with a good warm-up, choose activities that use the body parts that are part of your cardio program, that are using the body parts and focusing on it, that will increase the circulation there. You're going to see just as much, or almost just as much, result from not necessarily doing the cellulite program as you do from anything else. So, that said, if it just feels like this is too different, too odd, and you do need to choose, if you don't want to do it that way, there is an offer there to do, just use it as a suggestion and choose upper or choose lower. Every upper body dominant workout throws in a suggestion, make sure you're getting some squats and get some lower body in. If you're doing lower body focus, it suggests don't ignore your upper body. We need the strength there for functionality in posture and aging, but it's probably a little more complicated to choose one versus the other if you really want a total comprehensive upper and lower body program. I don't think you're missing out by choosing stronger one or three or four or five or six or seven as opposed to it. So just I'm going to say that to you. And number two will be the first one that gets the makeover. And number six, by the way, is probably the next one. And Shanna, I know it's like a mind-boggling thing inside of the app. It's a little bit different of an animal. And I remember my developer when we were first putting that in there, a guy, and he was like, "I don't understand this. Why are you doing it like this?" And I'm like, "Well, because there's the luteal phase and there's the..." And he was like, "I don't get it." I'm like, "Okay, well, go ask your wife." But it is a little bit difficult in a linear based program. You have to know which week did I need to start with, one, two, three, or four. And then you have to choose it in a linear pattern as opposed to going in a clockwise pattern from where you've started. So I know it is different. And, six is probably going to get a remake. I'm not sure that the science is as valid as I'd like it to be. It's there. I think a lot of women will report, "I feel better when I do follow that." But I don't know that you actually need to look at it from a standpoint that you need to dramatically do something different. Some of the more recent studies on women's the uniqueness of a workout from your luteal phase to your bleed phase to your ovulation is minimal. The feeling of effort does change, but performance actually doesn't change. And when we're talking about resistance training, the risk of injury is really fairly low. And if we were having you do real agility movement, the bigger risk would probably be during week two when you're kind of midway, and that's like 7 to 10 days after your bleed cycle's over. You are probably a little more prone to injury in terms of agility if you're doing some wild and crazy power jumps or lateral jumps and something complicated and coordinated. There may be some more, laxity in the joints, making you easier to strain a muscle or sprain one. And yet, it's a great time for strength because you're more rigid and able to support solid weight bearing. So, not a great time to jump and do quick movements, but a great time to do really solid things because you are more rigid. So, that is probably the only difference, but we're seeing less and less in terms of the ability to perform doesn't change too much. The effort level does seem to change more for women, meaning particularly that week before. For most women, sometimes women right during a bleed when they're having a period will notice that one of two things. They either suddenly feel stronger, like feel really good. They didn't so much right before, but then do once they have their period. Or they still feel really tired. And yet, in performance, they can lift as much or do as much endurance-wise. It just feels like a greater effort to them. So, for that reason, stronger six potentially will also go away or go to the archives unless everybody comes to me and says, no, don't do that. All right. So, it's kind of a brain drain, I think, now for you to figure it out. But once you do, and I started on week three, and I'm starting on week three every time in month one, month two, and month three. Okay. Colleen says, movement is beneficial, very helpful. Thank you. Feel better on my low energy days when I do move. Otherwise, I sit on my butt, and that's not good either. Exactly. And I think sometimes, just for everybody here, sometimes it's very hard if you go and you give your power away to social media, at least, that you're going to look at discipline as like gold, and that's going to get you into heaven, and you have to push through sometimes in the hard things. Sometimes almost across the board, I will tell you that all of the colleagues that I work with, whether they're functional health coaches or functional physicians, we all agree that you have to almost always step back, reduce inflammation first before you can get results from going hard. So if you've been going hard, you've been disciplining yourself all the way through, and that's not working, I would highly suggest you maybe push pause and do a reset program. So just kind of on that same theme of there are going to be days when we have highs and lows, and sometimes that's because life is just throwing a lot at you, and that stressor of life, we can't say, well, that doesn't count. I have to get my exercise. It actually does count more than ever. And you're going to hear this quote from me more than ever, but we have like cortisol is the only hormone that goes up during menopause. All the rest of them goes down, right? And so the corresponding reaction of the body is cortisol goes up. We have 40 times the receptors for cortisol in our belly. So when we elevate blood sugar and we have insulin and cortisol teaming up together, they are like belly fat bullies. They relocate fat to the belly. They increase small fat cells will become big fat cells. New fat cells can be born. The fat cells elsewhere in your body relocate. I mean, it's all this magical stuff that's no bueno. It's not good, but it is happening because that's the function of those hormones. and it's meant to protect. No longer do we need those fat cells, say in our hips and thighs, for baby making or baby protecting. And so it's relocating elsewhere when estrogen leaves and cortisol comes in. So we really need to look at decreasing inflammation is also related to decreasing the cortisol level. And we don't want that blood sugar going too low or too high. Both are indicative of we got a problem here, right? Because if it goes too low, we do have to raise it back up, and that chance will rebound is not good. We want stable, not low, and just flatlining, but we want kind of a stable boundary line where we're going up and down a little bit in reaction to meals, in reaction to stress, in reaction to exercise. Some of you, if you're using saunas, should notice that it goes up. Your blood sugar goes up because your heart rate will go up when you're in a sauna. When you get in a hot shower, you may notice your CGM goes up and your stress level is going up. And that's why. So your body is trying to respond to it's got to cool itself off. And so all of those things can be good, but if you got too much of them going on at once, reducing the inflammation by removing the hormetic stressor of exercise, not as hard, not as intense for a little while, not forever, but to bring the inflammation down so that then, okay, now I can punch and then I can recover and I get the recovery. I can cause that stimulus and then recover and I actually get the recovery because I'm not inflamed. That's an important distinction. And I would hesitate to say that, if you're post-menopause, you probably won't have that anymore. I don't think that's true. I think we're going to have for the rest of our lives, we're probably going to always, we're going to go through patches of time where there's some inflammation going on here. So just realize that you want to be like Monday. Oh, well, I saw you coming, right? When it happens to you, and just be able to pivot. And if you can do that, you'll turn it around really quickly, or maybe not have to turn it around because it didn't get so sideways in the first place. Diane said, great, thanks. I appreciate the individual needs idea and situational needs. Okay, great. Linda says, thanks, Deborah. I will start with three. I've done 10 twice, my new favorite. It's my goal to get back to it very soon, but might start with three, see how I'm doing before going to 10. Perfect. When I feel like a stronger 10 is doable, I'm going to do it with your videos. The first two times you hadn't finished them yet. Perfect. Shanna says, oh, you saw my request about stronger six. Oh, I see everything. I'm like God back here. Right? Shanna says, I like it and I'm fine with the cycles. Start because I'm post-menopause and it happened to be a new moon. Okay, when I started, but the abbreviations were hard to follow in the app. I agree. There's just a lot of them. And there's some issues with how the order is set up that made it hard to find. True. And I'm going to stop talking because I think I'm thinking about Stronger Seven actually incorporated Stronger Six. So I'm not going to say what I was about to say because it would have been wrong. Colleen said, I still struggle with inflammation. So I've not been able to be consistent with Stronger program. It's very frustrating. I've been working on reducing inflammation, but it's a slow process, especially right now when I'm unemployed, do not have a lot of dollars to invest currently in Stronger Three. So I'm going to say this with you and say just the fact that you're making the effort to be consistent is still a bit of consistency. Don't you think? Would somebody just give me some love or give Colleen some love in there in the chat? So even though it doesn't go perfectly, if you're still in the game, you are successful, right? And so part of your success is that you're being able to, okay, I can go, but I can put on the brake and I know when I need to put on the brake. So you can stop and go as you need to. And that is still a huge success. And so being able to pivot and read yourself and know that's an asset. It's like sometimes admitting it, saying it out loud, here's what I need to do. And the program is there and that's great, but you and I are co-collaborating all the time. I say that to each and every single one of you. We're co-collaborating. So you should not, my program or anyone else, blindly follow. We should be here for the very purpose of answering your questions so that you can make it yours. So that the answer to, how do you feel because you're doing a regular exercise program should always be better than when I wasn't exercising regularly. That should always be the answer, even if you're not doing it totally 100% according to all of the options that are there. And I think you should think of them as optional. We read, and I've said, I think in the last 24 hours, I think I've said, resistance training is not optional. Not if we want to age really well. It's not. We need to do it. But how you do it is optional. And you want to look at your data. And part of your data is the immediate feedback in your energy level and how you're sleeping and your mood. And then later, a little longer out before you're going to get that feedback and data, is what's happening to your body composition. Your weight composition, not just your weight, but the weight that is muscle, the weight that is fat, what's happening there. And when you're getting good data, we know that you're doing it optimally. And until we get good data, we can keep tweaking. We're still learning. And the only way we lose is if we quit. So stay in there, hang in there. Linda says, absolutely, Colleen, you're in the game. Your awareness is a huge success. Yes, absolutely. Have to be present to win, and you are being present. That is such a big deal. Awesome. Yes, and yes. Thanks, everybody, for weighing in on that one. Okay. And inflammation, in the absence of estrogen, is going to be a thing for us. We just have to have our antennas up a little bit. As females who may, for the first 40 or maybe 50, or in my case, it didn't slap me in the face till I was 56. And I thought, that's not going to happen to me. I don't know what all these women are talking about. Of course, I did. But it may go a long time for you ignoring the need to pay attention to that before you finally do. And you're never going back to that time when you were naive or ignorant. We're not going back there. We can't, because we no longer have the estrogen. Now we get to pay attention and use that knowledge that it's not there to use other resources that we didn't realize we were relying so heavily, exclusively on the estrogen. And now we just have to pull in the other pieces of the game. So I hope that little sermon was helpful. Okay. All right. Does anybody else have a question before we go? I'm scrolling up. I'm just going to make sure I got everybody's question. I do think I've got them, but let me know if you want to drop one in before we go. I think I have everybody's question down. Anybody else want to drop one in, or I will say going, going, gone. Do you recommend the Feminescence? I know AI did you no justice there, but yeah, I do. Especially for those of you who might be struggling in the moment with adrenal fatigue, is the one that I really benefited from the most. Really, really struggled for a while right after, and yeah, it was the year I hit menopause. I had, lots of chaos going on. I have lots and lots of stressors. So yes, absolutely. So Feminescence is contains maca, MACA, different than matcha. If for those of you who are wondering about the green tea, that's not it. Maca is an Incan herb. It's been around for probably as long as yoga's been around. Endurance athletes used to take it for stamina. That's why I first started taking it when I was in my 30s. I had no idea that it was also, something that it would come back and be useful for me 30 years later or 20 when I first stumbled across it again. But what I realized is what I was putting into my smoothies in my 30s may or may not have done me some good because the strains of maca, there are about 11 of them. And apparently, they all do something different, and you don't know if you're getting what it is that you want. So, you want to know that you have a clinical grade if you're really using it because you're seriously struggling with adrenals. I was at a point where, after I had done an Ironman, and the last one I did, I knew it was not going to go well. I knew I was throwing myself under the bus, and I decided I'm going to go pick up that $650 backpack and do the dang thing. So I did, and I knew I was going to have to do a lot of mitigation afterward, but I couldn't do it myself. And so I was no longer a morning person. My entire life I've been a morning person. And so I reached out to a physician friend, started working with them on hormones. And it was one of the things he recommended. He was on the advisory board at the time of Feminescence. I started taking that and felt better within a week, actually. And I took it in the morning. I think I took two in the morning. I didn't take a second dose in the afternoon because that wasn't my problem. It was just feeling hungover, but I hadn't had any fun, right, the night before. So, yes, I do to stabilize, but there is a difference. So, if you're just going to go to the store and you're going to buy, in the Whole Foods sections, the Navitas brand of maca, which is what I was doing in my 30s and pouring that into my smoothies, you don't know what strain you're getting. So, the clinical grade has actually been tested and researched, and it's evidence-based that it actually improves energy levels. And there is an advisory board on a 1-800 number. You can actually call somebody and say, here's how I'm feeling, and how do you recommend that I take this? And they would probably give you my physician friend was on the board. He was who I began working with through telemedicine at that point. So I got my own 1-800 number in a little different way, but I've had members before and community members. I mean, call them, and that 1-800 number is just a nice thing to know that you've got a physician with no strings in it. They're not trying to sell you something. They're just giving you some advice on based on your signs and symptoms and when you're crashing, et cetera. Here's what I would recommend. So that's what I would start. I do think there's a warning on the box about anybody who's got breast cancer might want to check with their physician first before taking it, or call the 1-800 number and ask them on their advice. But that is the only one. So hopefully that helps. Yes, I know. Okay. If you're interested in what we were just talking about, that is at flipping50.com/resources. It's called Feminescence. It's the purple box. And if you're in perimenopause versus postmenopause, there's two different products. I think it's Maca Pause and Maca Life. And it would look in doses as if you're taking 500 milligrams and 1,000. And so it looks like it's just double. But it's not the same product. So the ingredients are different, not the same. All right. Thanks for asking that one. And okay, I think we did it. And thank you, everybody, for asking the questions. Appreciate you for being here. And have a great rest of your week.